So now we are at 28 minutes to the hour of 7 in Barbados and across the Eastern Caribbean. You're listening to the Voice of Barbados. You're listening to the Better Health Radio Show, and I am your host, Dr. Renee Boyce. And I want to just let you know of a concert that's going to be going on one night only. And this concert is going to be held at Jackson House. It's called Christmas at Jackson House, featuring the award-winning gospel band Promise. Enjoy an awesome performance, lovely grounds, and a very exciting and welcoming atmosphere from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Saturday, the 5th of December. And guess what the admission is for this concert? It's absolutely free. But because of the restrictions due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, entrance is by ticket only. You can get your tickets from the church office at Jackson, and you can call the office there at 425-4109 for further clarification. So this is Christmas at Jackson House, featuring the award-winning band Promise and some other supporting artists. So looking forward to seeing you there. This is the church's way. This is under the Church of God Reformation Movement. This is the church at Jackson, their way of giving back to the community after a very difficult 2020 here in Barbados and across the world, really. So, Dr. Alexis, why the registry? What is the purpose? First of all, what's the registry?
So a registry really, in medical terms, means a way of capturing a particular disease. So housed in the, there is a Barbados National Registry, which deals with, they have a registry for stroke, they have a registry for cancer, and they have a registry for myocardial infarction or heart attacks. Those are the main registries that are housed at the George Allen Chronic Disease Research Center. So the thing about registries is not only collecting data as to what the problem is, but we have been able to extract from the data that is given what how we may be able to do an intervention to correct the problem, okay? So we also have a pediatric oncology registry separate as well that is running. So basically, registries can give you a lot of information, not only on the types of patients and the disease itself, but what problems the disease holds, and if there are any interventions we can do earlier to prevent certain things of the disease.
Who are we trying to target in this registry? Are we trying to find everybody in Barbados who has hemophilia? Are only those who are known already? Or perhaps those who likely based on family history, who do we want in this registry?
So the registry came about because we are also tied into the World Bleeding Disorder Registry. So this came about with the advent, when the association was formed, they became members in 2017 of the World Hemophilia Federation of Hemophilia. And that association is basically run by patients with medical directors or medical persons helping them. They are in, I can't remember how many countries over the world, and they have, I think, about 90 or so member countries, and they deal mainly with hemophilia and other bleeding disorders. But because hemophilia is the more common one, they have that. So our association became members with that, And because of that, the World Federation of Hemophilia has done a medical twinning with the Queen Elizabeth Hospital and two hospitals in Toronto, the Hospital for Sick Kids and the St. Michael Hospital. So through them, we have been able to develop like a program. And that is how we got training done for major things like nursing, the physiotherapist, and the lab technologists. Well, COVID sort of knocked some of that this year. But we have been twinned. This would have been our third year, but I think our third year would be next year, which I'm trying to get an extension on right now. And one of the things that they wanted was the registry so we can find out how many hemophiliacs there are. And the registry is, so in Barbados, anytime you're doing any research or anything, we usually have to get ethical, what we call IRB, certification or permission. So all that has been done, and it's just like registering the patient. So because it's World Bleeding Disorder Registry, anybody with known bleeding disorders, includes hemophilia, other factor deficiencies, and von Willebrand disease, which is one of the most common inherited bleeding disorders. They can send in, you know, try and be a part of this registry. And we do have an email address for anyone interested or wanting information on that. So, I mean, I can give you the email address now. It's registryheme, capital R-E-G-I-S-T-R-Y. HAEM@gmail.com. So if after the show anybody is not sure or anything, they can email that and, you know, their questions can be answered.
Okay, so the registry is going on. Let's say that John Brown is 11 years old and he is known to have hemophilia. How does he become part of the registry? What process, and since he's a minor, would his parents have to go through to get him into the registry?
Okay, so the registry, most of our patients come to the hematology clinic at the hospital. So we have one of our nurses there who has been trained too with the hemophilia. She will, and you, Dr. Boyce, have volunteered to assist as well. So they will come to the registry. We have people we know, and of course we are asking people we don't know as well, and they will be asked to sign a consent form. Obviously, information will be given to them. Now, when we're doing this registry, we do not put in names. All the patients are given numbers. And there's a depersonalization. So you can't go into the registry and say John Brown has hemophilia. Everybody has a number, and the only person who would know that number would be me, who is in charge of the registry. And that I would be the only person that has that. That doesn't go into the world blood bleeding disorders registry, and every country can only pull up their own information. So I would not be able to have any information on Jamaica. Jamaica would not be able to have any information on me. And the numbers are just tied in by the World Federation of Hemophilia data group.
Okay, so what are some of the things that you are hoping we would be able to achieve by getting this registry sorted out and functional?
So we have started with some patients. So basically, we want basic information, their age, weight, height, things like when they had their first bleed, if they have any family members who bleed, you know, and just basic information, their factor levels, which we can do at the hospital and what we call their inhibitor levels, because some of them develop inhibitors levels. And also we are looking at joint scores, because in some of the other Caribbean islands, the joint scores are very high. So this score tells you how good or bad your joint is. And basically, and we do a cumulative thing to see how bad joint disease is in this population in the country. And what we are hoping to do, we may not be able to help the older ones, but what we are being able to do with the help of the physiotherapist is prevent that from happening to the younger ones who are coming up.
Understood. You mentioned the word inhibitor in the last quarter of our program. Briefly, let's tell our listeners what is an inhibitor and the implications for the patient who has inhibitors.
Okay, so sometimes, you know, when your body gets accustomed, or all right, so let's say you get a virus or and then after a few weeks of the virus, the body recognizes it as foreign, and then it makes what we call antibodies to this virus to sort of destroy the virus if you get it again. Okay, so what happens with inhibitors in factor deficiency? Now, everybody doesn't get an inhibitor. What happens with the inhibitor is that the antibody that is formed against your factor, either your factor 8 or factor 9, and it prevents the medication that we want to give you from acting, because then it will destroy it as it comes into the body. So we have to use other mechanisms, what we call bypassing agents, to avoid that problem. So one of the problems with inhibitors is that it makes it more difficult to treat the patients when they have a bleed.
What advice can you give to, because remember, these are our little boys, many of them school age, mm-hmm. and what advice can you give to teachers who might be listening, or those persons who are nursery attendants, as regards monitoring and managing these children who have hemophilia? Remember, these are the ones who will be getting into the most trouble, getting into everything.
Exactly.
What are some of the things to advise them to look out for, and what should they do?
So in terms of the teachers, or even anyone who is caring for these children besides their parents, if they do have a bleed, like in a joint, they can ice it, call the parents, and the parents would come and give them their factor. And it is important to get that factor. The earlier, the better. Don't wait until the knee starts to swell before that happens. Because remember, a lot of them do have a little bit, so that you will get clotting initially, but it is not sustained. So that is where the problem gets in. So even if they have a cut or so, you need to put pressure, and more pressure than you would with a normal person, to stop the bleeding, okay? Other things, they should try, well, it's difficult, but try not to have fights, hitting, lashing, you know, those sort of things in the school area. And, you know, children or people are very intuitive. They get very intuitive as they get, you know, as they get to learn their bodies. And if a child comes and tell you their knee is paining them, and then sometimes they can tell when they have a bleed going on. And you need to listen to them. So sometimes what happens is that you do not, you know, sometimes people don't listen to the children, and then it gets to a stage where it makes it a bit more difficult to control. So certainly things like that. I mean, we don't put them in a bubble, but we still have to protect them.
Yeah, I think one of the problems is that sometimes because they bleed into joints and bleed into muscles, that you don't see an actual set of blood. Persons who care for these persons think that they're malingering or that they're pretending that something is wrong, and even not only dealing with non-medical professionals, but even some medical professionals as well, in some of our primary care centers and some of our private offices, might not understand the seriousness of a bleed being occult.
Yes.
And the need for urgent care in order to prevent long-term damage.
Yeah.
So that's definitely one of the areas of information that we want to get out. Take the things that the people with hemophilia say seriously.
Yeah.
As we begin to... Go ahead.
Sorry for interrupting you, doctors. Got a query for you. This WhatsApp says, good evening to the doctors. A person who get really bad pain, knee pain, where they have to actually twist the knee until it cracks to get relief. Can that be associated with your discussion? A person who gets really bad knee pain, where they have to actually twist the knee until it cracks to get relief. Can that be associated with your discussion?
Well, I'm not sure what that twisting and cracking is. I don't think anybody should be twisting and cracking their knee. And that would certainly, I think, make the knee pain worse. If you did that with a hemophiliac, we would be in very much
trouble.
So, I mean, hemophilia, usually we get a diagnosis earlier on, usually in childhood, with repeated, it's not just one bleed, but repeated bleeds into the joints, repeated bleeds under the skin or in the muscle. So it's not a one-time thing, it's just people getting repeated bleeds and so. So one, I would not advise cracking any knee, and I think that is going to cause more knee pain. And if you can do that and manipulate your knee like that, maybe you need to go and see a doctor, because it could be you have lax tendons or some other stuff going on there. But certainly stop cracking that knee.
Yeah, that doesn't sound as though it should be something that's done, especially on a regular basis. And again, pain is a red flag. Pain is a signal that there is something wrong. And that should be an indication for an individual to seek out the advice of usually your primary care physician, or if you choose, and you know it's a joint problem per se, you choose to see a specialist like an orthopedic surgeon or so on, well, you can do that as well. But certainly don't wait until there's nothing that can be done with your joint and then you're on crutches or in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Certainly not. In our last few minutes, Dr. Alexis, anything that you want our listeners to take home? We are going to give the email for the registry again towards the end of the show, but what do you want our listeners to remember about hemophilia?
Yeah, well, one thing I wanted to say is that we are lucky in Barbados. The factor is very expensive. One treatment could cause, like for an adult, could cost $1,500 to $3,000 per dose, okay? But we have been lucky because we are associated with the World Federation of Hemophilia. We have been getting some help with that in terms of donated factor. But the hospital does provide for us, and I must say thank you to the government of Barbados for helping out with that, because most patients cannot afford that. So although it is a very uncommon disease, but it can be very expensive to treat. And it's not anything that you can catch. It is something that is inherited, and the patient needs your empathy if they are bleeding. And I think with the registry, we should be able to get some more information.
Yeah, I'm also looking forward with the registry to be able to see the different patterns, to see if there is any specific area in Barbados, for example, that the majority of hemophiliacs live, to see if there are, if ours is mainly or all family, so all inherited. It will be interesting to see what the data will show us after it's collected from the registry. We had mentioned a little bit earlier, like you mentioned it, it was about 3 years ago that the association was formed. And we do want to give some props to the president, Erica, for the work that she has done. And she didn't do it by herself. You know, there were other members of the committee and so on. But certainly being in charge of an organization where there are so many challenges, there are so many things which are still misunderstood, and there are still so many things that need to be sorted out. It's a challenge. So let's say thank you to Erica for taking on that role. You can reach them on Facebook. They have a Facebook page. And they also have a website. Their website is Hemophilia Barbados. So that's HAEMOPHILIA. And that's BDOS for Barbados at gmail.com. So look them up on Facebook, and you can send off an email as well to get more information on what the association does. Yes, Gregston, how may I help you?
Oh, why are you so sure I had something to say to you? But I do.
You have something to say, Gregston.
I do have something to say to you. You mentioned earlier, I think around 28 minutes to 7 or so, about a concert in Jackson, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Now, this WhatsApper says, good evening, Dr. Boyce. An unrelated query. I heard you mention a recital / concert, and memory clicked. Are you the Theresa's daughter? Is it Theresa? Theresa's daughter? I attended Jackson Church of God over 20 years ago, and on occasion, a young lady would play the piano / keyboard when she was in Barbados. Am I correct in thinking that you are that person? Are you that person, Dr. Boyce? That's the query.
That's a question that I never expected, but yes, it is me.
I see. Somebody knows you, and they were listening to you and wondered if you were that person some 20 years ago. They don't know that when other people...
Yes, I have been playing since I was 11.
Right. As well,
playing there since I was 11.
And you get really annoyed when other people come in your space. I beg your pardon, Doc?
No, I was saying, Gregston, maybe she needs to do a little medley on one of the shows.
Maybe she should. Good idea. Very good idea. I know she's so into the piano and keyboard that when other people come and play, she gets really annoyed because they take her spot. Somebody close to her took her spot, and she wasn't very pleased many years ago either. Who was that again, Doc? Your husband?
Yeah.
So the person who's querying... The answer is yes, Dr. Boyce is that person. Go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that it is very important to have patient organizations. They play a major role in helping us, the doctors, in terms of, because we can't do everything. We treat the patients, but they do the peripheral things. And it is very important. It's very difficult because you always bring in different people,
personalities
and so. But a shout out to all the patient organizations out there and the great work that they are doing in informing the public about whatever condition that there is. And I know it's not an easy job. It takes dedication. And sometimes you just have one dedicated person with that drive to move that organization. Unfortunately, everybody may not be on board, but that's human nature. But I just want to big up all the patient organizations out there.
Yeah, it's very difficult to be in a leadership spot. And I agree with you completely, Dr. Alexis. As physicians, we can't do everything. We're not in touch with absolutely everything. We can empathize, but those persons who suffer with the conditions, they're the best ones to be able to voice the different concerns that might be occurring within that particular group. We are winding down to our last few minutes. So, Dr. Alexis, let's have that email again for the registry.
It's registry HEME, capital R, E-G-I-S-T-R-Y, H-A-E-M, @gmail.com.
All right. And I gave you the address for the Barbados Hemophilia Association. HEME, H-A-E-M, O-P-H-I-L-I-A-B-D-O-S @gmail.com. Certainly send in your comments and queries to these different email addresses so that you can get more information. In the last 2 minutes, let me remind you of that free concert that's going to be on Saturday, the 5th of December, on the grounds of Jackson House. It's a community effort under the Church of God Reformation Movement. They're giving back to the community after we've had such a very difficult year. The church there wanted to do something for the community. So they're having a Christmas concert, Christmas jazz concert, and they're featuring award-winning band Promise. And it's always good when we have such high quality local musicians, a wonderful group, the members there of Promise. And then the tickets are going to be available from the church, the office, Monday to Thursday during regular working hours, 425-4109 to reach the receptionist, the office manager there, and she can give you more information. Remember that the numbers are going to be restricted because of the current COVID-19 protocols and the number of persons that can associate in one given area.
You also said that you had some shout outs to do. Did you do them?
Yes, I am about to do them. On Saturday, the 28th of November.
Before you get there, Doc, as a WhatsApper that's saying, or the WhatsApper who made the query earlier said, thank you kindly. She was very good back then, referring to you, and quite passionate. That's what she says. You were very good back then and quite passionate. And the other WhatsApper here is saying, happy birthday in advance to Dr. Boyce, wishing her a fantastic day. You may carry on, Doc.
Thank you. On Saturday, November the 28th, two very special people in the world of medicine will be celebrating their birthdays. Of course, everybody should know by now, because I've been bragging about it, that it's going to be my birthday. But I share my birthday with Dr. Adrian Lord. And I am saying to Dr. Lord tonight, a wonderful, wonderful birthday to
yes,
you, Doc.
Yes, yes.
I pray that
happy birthday,
is
correct.
A very special day for you. Yes, I've known Dr. Lord for over 30 years.
He's almost a regular here now.
Gracious me. Yes, yes. So happy birthday, Doc. Guyston?
Yes, please.
We have to go.
All right, no
we
problem.
We have to go. Can you believe it?
I tell you what, though, next week.
I'm sad to go, Dr. Alexis.
Next week, we'll have you back for certain. Because that'll be the day after your birthday,
man,
right?
Mm-hmm. No, that's not why I'm excited about next week.
Quiz.
I'm excited about next week because it's our health independence quiz. We
right,
are doing
right,
a health
right.
quiz for independence, and it's based on health and, you know, some local things. So get your thinking caps on, prepare during the week for the questions that will come. And of course, you have to be preparing for your end of year quiz, which would deal with everything that we would have done during the year.
Yeah, we in school all over again. But anyhow, we looking forward to it.
Oh, yes.
Dr. Alexis.
Yes, thanks again, Dr. Alexis, for being so willing. Thank you for your time.
It was my pleasure, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
You are welcome. Okay. And take care, Gredston, until we meet again.
Very well, yes. Doc.
Bye.
Thank you so much. All the lovely ladies, Dr. Cheryl Alexis and Dr. Renee Boyce, giving you all the information on this edition of the...
Oh, wait, hold on.
There's more? There's more?
Gredston, sorry.
That's all right. Yes, go ahead, tell us.
Yes. I was just thinking locally, and I don't have any qualms saying it. I also share my birthday with my cousin Rashid. He's born on the same day, several years after I was. But happy birthday coming up to you too, Rashid.
Well, I'm glad you stopped me and said that. Why? Because I have a birthday greeting as well. Since we're on the topic of birthdays, this greeting is for Coralita Mayers of Lloyd Erskine Sanford Center for her birthday today. I understand greetings are coming from the VOB family and the Children's Wear family as well. So happy birthday today to Miss Coralita Mayers of the Lloyd Erskine Sanford Center. Happy birthday to you from the VOB family and the Children's Wear family as well. Have you got all the greetings in?
Happy birthday. Yes,
okay.
Happy birthday.
Wonderful. Once again, thank you kindly, Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alexis, and we'll hear Dr. Boyce, God is willing, next week, Sunday. Have a good evening and a good week, everybody. Thank you kindly.
Good evening. Thank you, and have a good week. Okay. Stay safe out there.
Bye.
Okay, bye.